where God has been good, and then all of a sudden, where is he at, right? Last week, we talked about being truly redeemed, what it means to be redeemed, to allow God to come into our life and just say, okay, all that you were is not what you're defined by anymore, all right? And one of the things in which I wanted to last week, but I did not prep our team to do, I did not ask soon enough our team to do, was to play a song, right? I don't sing. I don't have any talent in that area of, like, prepping for songs. I just went and said, hey, can you put this together? And it was, like, last minute, right? That's how I roll. Not really, all right? Anyway, but they needed a week, which I truly understand. But I want to give you the lyrics before I have them come up and sing this song. Be still now, my child. This song is called Spirit. Keep on. Be still now, my child. When you've lost your way, and the hell of yesterday bleeds into today. I see the storm raging inside and all around. You're a tempest tossed, till you're lost. And you're feeling for the ground. Oh, I will never leave you, orphaned all alone. I'll send my spirit to come and call you home. I see the broken edges and the tearing of your will. And in the secret dark of the human heart, I'll lean in closer still. Because I've got mercy miles and miles. I've got truth full of years, and it goes on for ages. Stretching into the clear, oh, I will never leave you, orphaned, all alone. I'll send my spirit to come and call you home. This song goes hand in hand with last week of understanding. Man, he doesn't look at us through our faults. In our wrongdoings, he looks at us and goes, you've got a home with me. And I don't know if you understand what that exactly means, but it means you didn't have to do anything. Just like the prodigal son, if you know that story, he was lost and he was gone and he was living a life that was not healthy and wise. And he walked back with every excuse in the book and everything that he could to win over his father's love. And in this story, you see the father standing at the door, at the porch, waiting every day, praying every day that his son, who was lost, would come back home. And one fine day, he sees his son walking, probably kicking dirt, going, I hope he just lets me back home so I can be fed, so I can have clothes, so I can be one of his servants, so I can just be taken care of. I know I've done him wrong. And his father just runs out, embraces him and hugs him and doesn't even give him a chance to talk, just loves on him and puts on his ring and puts the robe around him and says, welcome home, my son. This story is about us. We've all had that tendency to walk away. We've all had that moments where we've said, God, I can do this without you. And he sits on that porch waiting for your return, not counting what you've done wrong, but ready to pour out his blessings and forgiveness and welcome into the family again. I hope you know that this morning. I'm going to ask them to come up and sing this song. I know it's a change of what we do on a Sunday morning, but change is okay. All right, so listen to the song. Allow it to impact you this morning.
Inside and all around, and you're a tempest tossed until you're lost and feeling for the ground.
Thank you. And I hope that resides in you this morning. I hope you know your home. I hope that whatever your life is right now, wherever you are, that you know that God's ready to embrace you and welcome you. Maybe you have felt alone this last week. Maybe you've said things and done things you totally regret. God loves you. Don't let the hell of yesterday bleed into today. I love that line. I love that line because it's so easy to get caught up in what was and what I did and forget how powerful His forgiveness and redemption is. Don't be a captive of your mistakes of the past. No, God's bigger than them. Allow Him to embrace you. Allow Him to cleanse you. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning I pray as we continue on, I pray that your voice is heard. I pray today that somebody decides maybe for the first time to move closer to you, to lay down their life for you. I pray somebody finds their home in you, in your embrace this morning. Amen. This is week two of Redeemed. sorry, I forgot my glasses. It helps. I feel like I'm not quite with it today. I don't know why. The title for this one is Finding Your Place. All right? Finding Your Place. And the scripture that we're going to read out of, if you want to turn to it, is John 1, 26 through 27. All right? So if you want to flip that and get ahead, you're more than welcome. I don't have half my family here. Jackson had homecoming last night. He's with friends this morning. Who knows? We're trying to be good parents. I trust him, right? I'm pretty sure it was a late night for him. And then Michelle is running a tournament this morning. And so they're both gone. So guess what I get to do? Yeah, I get to talk about them, right? Yeah. So I'm trusting you, right? Right? I'm going to say lyrics to a movie or something so we get kicked off of Facebook Live. Sorry, those who are joining us. I'm just kidding. No, 3 years ago, I think it was, Jackson was 15 and had his learner's permit. Anybody know those years of learner's permit? I heard a couple groans. Man, I tell you what, your prayer life starts to grow during that time. All right, I love it. We planned a trip to Montana, and we drove to Montana, right? And I guess I have a control issue, or just I want to remain alive, one of the two. I'm still trying to figure it out. And it's not just my son. It's also my wife. I love them both, but I have a hard time sitting in that passenger seat going, are we gonna stop? Do you see that car? Right? Anybody? Right? I will say too, when Jackson got in the driver's seat, I think I'm a good teacher. But I decided, like, in that trip, I'm gonna go in the very back and sit in the back and allow Michelle. Actually, Michelle said, "Hey, I can tell you haven't slept well. Why don't you sit back there and I've got Jackson during this time?" And it was heavy traffic. And even from the back seat, I couldn't help myself. "Hey, you see that car? Just making sure. I don't know if you're awake up there." Like, just dealing with that. Anybody else? Just me? I will tell you, Montana trip, that trip, I lost a couple of years of my life in that trip. Not just Jackson driving at 15 years old, but also my wife driving. Majority of the time, I say whatever trip we go on, I would say 99% of the time, I'm driving. It's just, I love it. My wife doesn't want to drive. In fact, she brings a book, she reads if we go on trips, and then the times that she looks up is where she's, you know, hey, she's a professional driver all of a sudden. She's wanting, hey, you know, we're supposed to turn up here. I know, thank you. Would you like to drive? Right? Like, anybody? We've driven home a million times. She still has to tell me, hey, you're going to have to turn left here. Oh, thank you. I've been in there. It was wonderful. Right? I've been to the point where I've said, okay, I will pull this car over. Not to yell at you, but apparently you want to drive. Right? And she goes, no, you got this. And goes back to reading. It's just those things that she pops up and is like, hey, I know where we're at. I need to let him know where we're at, too. Where I guess I was daydreaming the rest of the trip. But, right? I wanted to talk about how this kind of correlates with our life with God and what it means to be redeemed. Last week, we talked about what God comes in and he allows us to be restored, be renewed, be this different person. But today, I want to talk about what it means to allow God to even come into the moments and help us find our place with him, right? And I'm going to start with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a pretty cool guy. This is about Pharisees coming up or talking to him, or people just coming up and saying, hey, John, you are this person that is just amazing. You speak really well. People hear you and want to be a part of what you are saying, right? And this is the answer. I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands the one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. All right? First off, my junior high brain goes straight into untying somebody's shoes and then tying them together, right? Anybody else? Right? The other aspect of it is to start thinking about, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. Think about that for a moment, right? That you are not worthy of this person, that John the Baptist isn't worthy to untie his sandals. And I'm going to explain some more things of who John is. John is these things. First off, he was friends with Jesus before they were even born. Can you say that about anybody? Right? If you know the scriptures, where their parents meet up, their bellies started leaping when they were in their tummies next to each other, right? And there was this known, like, hey, they know each other. They're excited to be in their presence. John had already been engaged with the calling early on to be Jesus' front man, to be the one that sets the way for Jesus, so when he comes, everybody is ready to accept him or accept his ways or know that Jesus has a message that is important and that he's the Messiah, right? That was John's job. I started thinking about early age. If I know this calling from an early age, yeah, I'm the man. And if you know anything about John, he's a wild man. He lives out in the forest, the wilderness, right? He doesn't kind of go by the norms of today. And usually those people that like set the standard of not against society, and you look at them and they do it in a way, they're like, hey, he's got something. That was John. John was the guy that went against counterculture. He was going against what the society was teaching, and he wasn't necessarily beaten for it or looked down upon for it. People were like, okay, he's got something. And he started getting followers, right? This wild-haired, wild-wearing kind of person that lives out in the wilderness and doesn't want what the normal society has. And he's telling us this way, this story about Jesus before even Jesus was there. And he's telling us God loves them and has them wanting to live a different life than what the norm was. And they were receiving it. It's like Stephen Verdick being up here this morning and people like, ooh, yeah. Right? Being able to bring that message, being like it was there. Right? And there's a couple other things about John. He was chosen by God to prepare a way. He comes from a lineage of priests. Both his parents have priesthood in their blood, right? That's kind of crazy. So, like, he was born into this, ready to give it, ready to know it, right? Some other things. He was a follower. He was a great speaker. Yeah, so these things are John the Baptist. And he had a following. I started thinking about, as I was preparing this, how easy it could have been for John to get a big head. To think that he could do this without anybody else's help. Just that he was chosen by God to do this, and therefore it's his ability and his talent that got him there. And I started thinking about that with the story that I gave you about me driving to Montana, thinking that my 15-year-old was going to kill us, that my wife, who's an experienced driver, gets herself to work every day, was going to kill us. Like, and I started thinking about that, how that correlates with our own walk with God. And how God, many times with us, with God, we start to think, I've got this. I've got this, God. Right? That this area of my life, that we are ready for God to come in and forgive us of all our sins, come in and redeem us and make us new. But then there's this other part where we come in and go, okay, I'm not ready to give up this area in control of my life. In fact, I'm so good at it that I should just do it myself. Has there ever been something in your life that you know you're better than other people at it? Yeah? Anybody? I'm still figuring it out, right? But you probably can put it there. Yeah, I'm better at this than them, right? And that you, knowing that, oh, okay, I got this. Like, for instance, nobody lives my life better than me, right? Nobody can make my decisions for my personality, for who I am, better than Ben Alexander. Like, I'm not going to put, hey, Steve, hey, this morning I'm waking up, what should I wear today? I'm not going to call him up and ask that. Some of you might. I don't know. right? Steve's a good dresser, right? I'm trying to pick you on you this morning, all right? But it seems to be kind of ridiculous to do that, right? Or, you know, maybe I do need this. I'm not going to ask somebody to go, hey, you need to figure out my meal plan for this week so I know what to eat. It might be helpful for my health. I don't eat the best. I like steaks and potatoes. I could eat that every day. I don't know if my heart could sustain it, but so be it, right? But somebody coming in and telling me how to live my life, what? That doesn't seem, I think I can do that. Anybody? Think I'm the best one to tell how Ben Alexander should live for Ben Alexander, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, not so much. Not so much, all right? And the reason being is the more that I become dependent on myself, the less that I understand what it means to be living redeemed life through Jesus. All right? And John kind of goes through Luke 7:28 says this, I tell you, among those born of woman, there is no one greater than John. This is Jesus talking about John. If we stop there, woo! Can you imagine being said that by Jesus? Let me reread that, and don't read on. Don't pass on from what the next sentence is, all right? I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. That's a word from Jesus Christ. Can you imagine, especially if John is standing there hearing this, knowing this, yeah, there's no one better than me. I speak the best. I prepare the best. I know what God's got for me, and I'm going to be the best man for God, and everybody should know that, right? I think we could put our own names in there. I tell you, among those born a woman, there is no one greater than Ben. Who's laughing? I heard the laughs, right? But imagine that. I think somewhat we kind of live with this in our minds, and Jesus wasn't done with this. He says, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Do you understand that? For me, it took me a couple times to read this. Least in the kingdom of God. That means those who are the less fortunate, those who don't even deserve to be in heaven, those who don't did nothing to earn their spot in heaven, which is all of us. Is better than his best friend. All right? I want you to think about that. This person that Jesus looked at and goes, he's the best. I love him. He's the best. We're best friends. No one's better than him, but the least of these in the kingdom of heaven are better than him. Those are powerful words. Those are under things. And I think within us, we need to understand that with how we live our life and how we see people. Imagine God saying this, no one is better than you, Ben, but everybody is when you seek out the kingdom of God. When the redemption lives within me, I live in a way that I understand in this world, I see them through God's eyes and I'm not better than them. No matter what I do, what I say, no matter what they do or what they say, I'm not better than them. And God continually to work in my life is the understanding that I need God to continue to work in my life. That I'm not a work that's done and finished. That you are not a work that's done and finished. Redemption is not one moment. It's a moment that has come and has changed my life and continues to change my life and continues to examine my mouth, my actions, my words, my life and how I live it. And continues to make it new and fresh and changing. And the question I would want to leave with you today is this. Has God been changing your life? And have you been allowing him to move you from where you're at to where he needs you to be? Or has your pride, has your thoughts, I can do this on my own, sat there? I don't need God to redeem these things because they're not necessarily bad. Not everything is bad in which God wants to come and redeem. In fact, there are things that are good in your life that we take and cherish really well, right? I'm a good person. I'm not a bad person. And I'm very cordial, and I'm nice, and I'm caring as far as I can see. And in that I can go, God, I'm good in this area. But he wants to come and redeem it and use it to glorify his kingdom. He wants to take even the things that you're really good at and redeem it, because in reality, without God being the head of it, it's not leading people to the kingdom. It might be bolstering your own self-confidence. It might be filling you with pride. And the reality is this, that goodness that I'm sharing anyway, that stuff that I'm great at, that comes from God. And recognizing that and understanding that's a gift, and going, okay, redeem this to live for you, will change everything in the game for you. God has redeemed you, and you want your talents to show the image of God to the people in this world. It changes everything. It moves you to live a life that's not about you, but about God. Now, in John 1, 19 through 23, it says this. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in the Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him then, who are you, Elijah, who's an amazing prophet of the Old Testament? He said, no, I am not. Are you a prophet? He answered, no. Finally, he said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. This was his answer. He must become greater, and I must become less. I think today, for us to understand what it means to live a redeemed life, this has to be our motto. This has to be who we understand our relationship with God. He has to become greater in me, and I have to physically and emotionally and theologically and all those aspects of my life become less. It's God wants to be selfish with you, because he understands, if you remember, even in the songs, like our home, our true home, our understanding of who we are, not a building. We have a tendency to think that home is a structure, the church is a structure. It's not. Home is where we are really. Like, I come this morning and I dress up and I try to look kind of nice. Wow. I try to look nice, right? I try to put on a good show. I want to be real with you, but I also want to be like, hey, I want them to know that Jesus lives me and I have the perfect family. We didn't fight last night. Man, we argued about going where to dinner, and it was like one of those arguments like, well, I don't like you. And then we had bad service. Well, this was your fault we went here. Yet, family's kind of messy. I'm kind of messy. I mess up. I know you mess up. I know we do those things. But my true home, my true identity is found through God, and when he has redeemed me, those things fade away, and we need to understand that as a church. Those things fade away. We come in with preconceptions of each other, don't we not? Do we not? And we do that because we know some of our stories. We know where we're from. We even do that to ourselves. Well, this is who I am. I can't help it. No, that's not true. It's not true at all. And this verse right here shows it. I must be less and he must be greater. And if he's greater in my life, that starts to change how I live, how I look, how I sound. I'm not handcuffed. I'm not prisoner of who I was. I am free and at home of who he's created me to be. That's what redemption looks like. And I'm going to tell you, every day is a chance to be redeemed. Every day is a chance for me to go, okay, in this area, I need to be kinder and loving to my spouse, even when they are not loving and kind to me. And it's not to go, ha, I'm more godly than you, which it's easy to do. Is it not? It is. I must be less. He must be greater. It's figuring this out on a daily, daily moment. When our interactions with people, you're like, oh, okay, God, how am I less and how are you greater? How do I live out this redemption when I feel like all around me is just breaking apart? How do I move to you when I feel like all I can do is just sit still and not want to do anything? And the great thing about God is he can come along, and as he's shown, all we have to do is just lift our hand up. All we have to do is voice it. All we have to do is say, God, I can't do this without you. And he runs off that porch and embraces us and says, you are home. I have not required you to do anything, but just knowing that you are coming to me is life-altering. This week, this is my question for you. How are you allowing God to be greater? And how are you becoming less? How are you allowing God to show brighter? Because listen, John the Baptist said this. He could have said, well, God chose me. I'm the one to prepare the way for Jesus. You should listen to me. I have authority. I'm John. But that's not how he answered. He answered, this is who you go back and tell him. He must be greater. I must be less. Think about that when you work with your coworkers, when you're at home with your spouse, your kids, and how you interact. And that the hope is that you bring the redemption of God that is shining through you. And if it is, he will shine so bright through you. That people will want to run to you because you resemble what home is. It's embracing love. It's what they were created for. It is Jesus embracing grace and mercy and kindness and forgiveness and newness, and it's freely given. What in your life do you need to allow God to come in and redeem? Pray about that this week. Allow God to fully talk to you this week. Allow God to come into your life and say, hey, this area in your life, you have not allowed me to control. You have not allowed me to be greater, and that you need to be lesser in it. That's the charge this week. Stand with me. Let's pray. God, I pray we take this verse from John 3:30. And when we're asked who we are, if we're tested of who we are, if we are trying to figure out who we are, I pray this week we can live this out, that we can seek this out, that we allow you to be greater in our lives, that we trust you in the areas of our lives that we know that maybe we're great at, and that maybe we just haven't trusted you with, you Lord. That I pray this week we go, okay, in this area of my life, Lord, may you be greater. May it resemble your love. May it be something that I physically hand over to you and trust you with, and not just reach back and grab it and say, I've got this. May we truly have faith in you that you have our life and the areas of our life that we need to hand over to. Lord, redeem us this week. Redeem our mouths. Lord, I pray that we don't gossip. I pray that we don't talk ill of other people. I pray that we are full of praise and joy. And I pray that when people hear us speak, that our words are uplifting, that our words are pointing to you. Redeem our mouths. Redeem our actions. Redeem the areas in our life that we need the most. May we be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, I pray as we leave this morning, I pray that we know that we are in your presence, that we walk with you daily, and that we seek you out daily, and that we become less and you greater. We do this to glorify your name. Amen. Church, you're dismissed.